Today, I know of a couple of testimonies. I don't know how many we have. You've got to come tell about the power problem that you had at your house. Oh, my goodness. How soon we forget. I didn't forget that.
Now, our house should not have a power failure, but apparently there was some reason we did, so I don't know if we sinned or what. But anyway, we prayed, and we woke up at 6:30, or I woke up at 6:30.
First of all, you called the people that...
Yes, I called the power people, and they said, we'll be on it.
What time was that?
This was at, it was about
10:30
at night. They said, it'll be on at 2 in the morning. So I thought, okay, well, we're going to bed anyway. It's no big deal. So I kind of got up at 6:30, and I'm like, it's cold in here. There is no power in this house. And the Lord said to me, why don't you take John 20:23? I already gave you that verse. All you do is stand on it, and I'll take care of it. So I had called the power company before the Lord spoke to me, and they said, well, it'll be on at 10 o'clock. And I said, oh, this is not good enough. I've got three little kids, and it's going to be cold in the house. So then he spoke to me and said, you better take John 20:23. And I thought, well, Lord, I don't think you can use John 20:23. I'm arguing with God here. And he's like, come on, you know.
Didn't he tell you to remit the sins of the whole block
He told me to remit the sins of the whole block. And I'm like, okay.
And
so
then that's
when
she starts arguing with God.
So I started arguing with God. I said, I didn't think I could use John 20:23 for that. And he said, I gave it to you. You do it now. Okay. Okay, God, okay. So I went ahead. I barely got the last word of John 20:23 out of my mouth. Power was on. So thank you, Jesus. I will use John 20:23 more often.
Oh, goodness. Thank you. Pat, you got a testimony? Come on up here. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Well, I've been having a lot of fun since I've been working here on Fridays. And this past week, I worked a few extra days because Sharon was on vacation. But I had this man call Friday afternoon, and I'd prayed for him the Friday before. And he said, I am, like, out of money. There's no work. And I said, well, let's just pray and believe God. God's not going to leave you destitute. And so he called me Friday, and he said, guess what? He said, I have a praise report. He said, this lady knocked on my door and said, I want to buy your house and I want to give you cash. And I said, was it for sale? And he said, no, it wasn't even on the market. So he was so excited.
Amen.
So I said, praise God. That is just awesome. And then another lady called 2 weeks ago, and her daughter had lost hearing in both ears. And so she emailed in that we just prayed the prayer of agreement, and she took her daughter to the doctor that following Monday, and the doctor said that her ears were perfect.
Nothing wrong.
Praise God.
God is so good, isn't he? Wow, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Oh, you got one? My honey bunny's got one. Wow. Okay, praise the King.
Okay. I took my mother to the doctor Wednesday because she'd been sick with having some blood loss, and then on Thursday morning, I got a phone call, and she was in emergency, and so I went over to St. Paul Hospital in Dallas, and my mother has cried wolf a lot. And so through it all, it ended up that she had a mild heart attack. And so I spent the night there, and there had been some difficulties between us for some time, and I had found out recently during this blood loss that she had taken me out of the will because she felt like I had a rich husband and I didn't need anything.
Hey, that's what
he has all
say.
The cattle on a thousand hills.
Danny
that's
owns
right.
The cattle on a
that's
thousand
right.
hills. That's right.
So yeah. She had left everything to my brother. Well, it, for a few days it hurt, and everybody here had to, you know, minister to me. This has been about 3 weeks. At the beginning of the month, actually, everybody here had to minister to me because it hurt my feelings. You know, obviously it would hurt your feelings. It's just me and my brother, and I just felt really sad about it. But I got over it, and so, you know, my prayer had been through all of this little sickness that we've been going through. And I've been the primary caretaker, and I've been going there. I've been staying there, and I've been praying, and I've been able to minister to her. Before, she didn't want to hear anything spiritual from me. Although she's saved, she still didn't want to hear anything about what goes on here. And so she started listening to testimonies, and she started asking me questions why she was sick. And I would say, well, in our experience in the ministry. I would preface everything so that at one point she told me I was judgmental, and I said, well, I'm not being judgmental because God will judge me if I'm judgmental, but I said, I'm just telling you what we see in the ministry. And so anyway, I'd just been praying for reconciliation in the family, and because, you know, it not only hurt me, it hurt my children. And but yesterday, after we'd gone through all of this, and I've had to write everything down because she gets a little confused now. She's almost 88. And she told me yesterday, she said, well, I'm going to change my will and give you half the house. And I said, praise God. You know, thank you, Mother. I said, I think that's very nice of you to do. So praise God that God is working on my family and reconciling my family and bringing peace into my family. And I don't know if this is an answer to my prayer. I know this is an awkward thing to say, but, you know, I'm concerned for her. I don't want her to condemn herself and have to spend eternity in hell. And she's so into the medical world, and it's hard to talk to people and tell people that, you know, you either trust God or you trust man. And if you're into the medical world, you're trusting man. You're not trusting God for his answer. And so that's, you know, and so I am ministering to my own family because that's where they live. And it's a hard thing some days because of where we walk and seeing all the miracles we see. And I am getting to share all that with her. She wants to hear it. My brother and nephew heard them yesterday, and they were like, wow. I told them about Bailey, the little girl that got healed of the reaction to the cervical cancer vaccine. And so they were all impressed with that. Which they should be. It's a wonderful miracle from God, but it's hard. It's hard to minister to your family when they don't see this, and it's God's been doing some. He's been moving in my family, and I praise Him for that, and I praise Him for loving me and carrying me through all that time when my heart was so hurt. And I also praise Him for all the people here that minister to me.
Amen.
I love them.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on up, brother.
Now, this is a two-part prayer. And little Becky, Rebecca, my sister in Christ, she's been having to move and working and move. You know how moving and working goes, moving boxes and this and that. And then she was getting way down. And she lost her keys and everything on her keychain. And especially to her car, which she's got to move. And we was in a fret, and I don't know, I was driving, and the Lord said, well, have you asked me? I thought, man, I ain't even prayed to the Lord about finding the keys. So I prayed, and we're going to tell you what happened. So I prayed, Lord, give us another key, find them keys, because she's going bananas. And bless her heart, and she loves, we both love the Lord. So tell him what happened about your hand.
Wait a minute. We got to have the mic.
I laid over his van, and I said, God, bless you. I just can't take any more. Please put these keys in my hand. I can't do this anymore without you. Please. I woke up today, and he picked me up at work to come here, and the key was the key was there.
Wow.
So now, I didn't know what she prayed, and she didn't know what I prayed, right? So I had to pick her up from work, and she left a little old box, had stuff in it in my van. I thought, I'm going to go through that box. So I went through that box, and it wasn't her keys. But let me tell you first, I asked her if she had spare keys. She said, no, I've never had one. I said, well, okay. I looked in that box, and here's a key. And it had Mitsubishi on it. And I thought, man, that looks like... So
it's not my key.
I got out, went over to her car, and it fit all the doors, and it went into the key and turned it on. Well, she don't know this, right? So when I picked her up from work, I had the key, and I hadn't told her yet. And I said, Becky, hold out your hand. I wanted to surprise her. She held her hand out. Bop, there was the key.
God's power really works.
Yes, it does. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, that's good. Praise the Lord. Yes, God's power really works. I mean, it really, you have one? Praise the Lord.
Yeah. First of all, I wanted to say that my friend Stephanie came about 6 weeks ago, and the night before she came, well, that morning she had made bread, and that morning she cut herself real bad, like a finger through the nail, and so she had to go to the hospital and get it stitched. And she came here, and I told her, I said, well, you might want to go up and get prayer. So she did, and took her home, and then I didn't see her for about 2 weeks. And when I saw her, I did not think about her finger, you know, and because she's in the medical profession, and so she wars with things like that. So we're sitting there, and she took it, and she said, look at my finger. And there was no scar. There was no scar. And her nail was completely healed.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
Thank you, Lord. So good.
Thank you, Lord.
And I worked for Daystar for a little over 2 weeks, and they have a share-a-thon twice a year. And so a lot of what I do is take pledges, and maximum we're supposed to have is 8 minutes on the phone. So it's real hard. Time-wise, it's a challenge when people call in, but some people call in just for prayer. So I had a lot of miracles, but two I'm going to tell you about. One, this lady called in, and what we always ask first is for their zip code. Well, she couldn't remember her zip code, and she couldn't read it on the paper, on an envelope. And the more she tried, it took about 3 minutes, the more she tried, she went into hysterics, because she could not see it, and I guess she's legally blind. So I told her to stop crying, and then I started, you know, the Lord was moving through me fast, because you don't have much time, so was trying to find out her sin, if it was her sin or generational curses. So I found them. There was generational and a sin of unforgiveness. So I told her about it. She was willing to ask forgiveness. I prayed the prayer of faith, and so I told her, I said, okay, now do something you couldn't do before. So she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, just do anything. Just quickly do it. So she bent over and touched the floor. And she said that there wasn't a lot of pain left because she'd broken almost all her limbs in her back. I mean, she was a mess. So I said, okay. And the Lord said, go have her read that envelope. I said, go read that envelope. I guarantee you're going to read that envelope. So she went over there. She just started crying because she should read the whole envelope. And so I asked her, I said, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much better is your vision? And she said, 20%. And the Lord told me to tell her that. I said, I guarantee that the Lord will heal you from the top of your head to the tip of your toes if you'll keep your mouth right and you'll praise him. That was so cool.
Amen.
So then another praise lady had 10 major diseases. She had 10, but they were generational. And I broke the curses off of her and then commanded healing to come. And she just started having manifestations because I said, do what you couldn't do. She just started having manifestations in, I mean, all kinds of areas. And so I had to end the calls, you know, and I don't know the end result, but I know, and I had more than that. I had a lot. And seven salvations. And
wow,
a lady received, and they don't call in for salvation. They don't know they're not saved. And one lady got the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and she got her prayer language.
Praise the Lord.
So it was
really
exciting.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sounds like Ann had a great week. Praise the Lord. A great couple of weeks. Wow. Anybody else before we quit on testimonies? Okay. No more? Okay. I've got to tell you. Oh, you have one? Okay. Come up here. Praise the Lord. We never cut anybody short. Hold that up close where they can hear you.
Now listen, mine are not big, fat like these you've been hearing. Mine's just a little simple thing. But last year we had a bumper crop of pecans, and my neighbor had vacated his house. So I called his, am I doing okay?
Yes, ma'am.
I called his daughter-in-law and said, now get your little Sunday school class together. Come over here and pick up these pecans, and we'll crack them, and you can use that for your little trip this summer. Well, they came, a bunch of them, about 14 of them, little and big, and they picked up pecans, but see, they didn't know that you're just supposed to pick up a pecan, you're supposed to leave that hull there. Well, I took them, I told her I would just, you know, make back down some gesture. I'll just go down and have them crack for them. And that'll, you know, save them that trouble. Well, when I got down there, they said, we can't use these. They've got holes all in them. You ought to clean them up. Well, I thought, now, what have I gotten myself into? That's really going to be a chore. Well, it was a beautiful sunshiny day, and I sat out on the patio, and I thought, well, you know, the Lord says he didn't like those complainers. I better straighten up here. I picked out all the good pecans and took them back, and they bought them, and they gave me $50. And I sent it to her.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. He doesn't like complainers, does he?
Yeah, that's not a biggie, but...
Hey, that's a good one, though. Praise the Lord. All testimonies are good. Praise the Lord. When we talk about keys, I've got to tell you, one of the gentlemen that got involved with our ministry a while back, he had a problem believing some of these things at first. I mean, if you've been to church all your life and you've never seen the miracle side of God and how he answers prayer, but after he'd been listening to my teaching for, I don't know, maybe a year or two or three, whatever it was, he was trying to convince his daughter. Now, see, this is a problem. I have trouble convincing him, and then once he gets it, now he has trouble convincing his daughter. Honey, these things are real. You can pray and ask God for things, and he'll do it. Yeah, Dad, sure he will, you know, that we've all been there and done that. So anyway, he was trying to convince his daughter. And one day his daughter called and said, Dad, I'm going to have you come on and help me find my keys to my car. I cannot find the keys to my car. He said, just a minute, honey, let me pray. And over the phone, he says, Father, in the name of Jesus, show me where my daughter's keys are. And he said, immediately I saw a bench sitting out in the front yard, and the keys were laying on the bench. I told her, I said, honey, I know where your keys are. The Lord just showed me. They're laying on that bench out in the front yard. She said, now, Dad, that's the wildest thing I ever heard of in my life. I have been in the house. The children have been in the house. As far as I know, none of them's been outside, and it's impossible for those keys to be laying out on a bench outside. He said, well, all I know is that you want to know where they were. I asked God, and God showed me a vision instantly, and your keys were laying on that bench out in the front yard. Now, you go out there, and you call me back and tell me what you find. Well, Dad, ain't no use me going out there. He said, go out there and look. Okay. So she hung the phone up. She called right back and said, Dad, you ain't believing this. They were laying on that bench outside. Now then, she got to talking to the children, and one of the children had been playing with the keys, and they took them out there and laid them on the bench, and of course never thought anything about it. You know how kids will get in mama's purse, got the keys, and they're picking them up, and they went out and said, oh yeah, mama, I tucked those out there. I laid those down on the bench outside. But mama couldn't find them. And she would have never, but let me tell you, that changed his daughter forever. She got to see God do a wonderful miracle. I mean, but God is an awesome God, isn't he? You know, just like your sister, that key we talked about, she wanted God to lay the key in her hand. And her brother found the key and the next morning laid the key in her hand. Isn't that something? And I got so tickled at Kim. When Kim said, in fact, I want us to go to that scripture right quick, John 20:23. I have caught a lot of flack over the years as I've learned this and taught this scripture. And of course, I'm just uneducated enough to believe that if God wrote it in his word, that's what he means. See, I don't have a PhD, you know, so I've just got a PhD with God. That's the only place I've got one. But in John 20:23, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. I mean, how much clearer could you be than that? I mean, what would the king have to say? And he says, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. To me, that was very clear. I mean, you know, I thought, well, okay, God, if I can remit sin, I can do this. And of course, when I learned that our sin was what's bringing our sickness and disease and our shortness of life and all these things, when I begin to learn this, that if you have something wrong with you, there is sin somewhere in your life. Now, the average person does not like to hear that, but if you want to get healed, you have to do it God's way. Amen. It's like a man, I went to a ministry one time, and the man that was the head of this ministry, he told a story. He said, when I was young, being raised up in church, he said, I prayed for lots of people, but I never saw God do anything. He said, hardly ever did I see God answer a prayer. Just almost non-existent. He must have been a good Baptist like you and me, right, Jack? Yeah. So anyway, he said, I hardly ever saw God answer a prayer. It said, one day a couple of ladies came to me, and both of them were having severe pain. One of them, her fingers were even twisted with arthritis. And they said, would you pray for me? And he said, no. He said, I don't know why, but he says, I don't ever see anybody get healed or nothing when I pray for people. I don't see any results. And the Lord spoke to him some way and said, have them forgive the people they have unforgiveness toward. He said, do you ladies have unforgiveness toward someone? Well, yeah, my daughter this, my son-in-law this, and we start down the list. Oh, my goodness. So he said, okay. He said, would you ladies ask God to forgive you, and would you forgive these people you have these grudges against, and then I will pray for you. And so this lady said, well, I have unforgiveness toward my daughter. I have unforgiveness toward my son-in-law. And she just starts down the list. And when she gets, okay, Lord, I forgive them, and I promise to love them in Jesus' name. Okay, then he goes to the other lady, and she gets all of her sins of unforgiveness taken care of. And now then he says, okay, now then I'll pray for you. He said, Father, in Jesus' name, would you please heal both these ladies? And he said, both of them screamed. Both of them was instantly, totally, completely healed. He said, I thought, wow, I ain't seen that many answers to prayer in all my life. He said, maybe there's something to this remitting sins. And so he got off on this kick. I will never pray for anybody else for no reason until they get rid of their sin. Well, see, I learned this lesson 20 years ago. And guarantee that God said in His Word that if you remit people's sins, they're remitted. And I got tickled at Kim when she called me the other day and told me about this when she said, here I am, God told me to remit the sins of my block. I said, now God, you know I can't remit the sins of the whole block. Then she said, what am I doing arguing with you? Isn't that something? We think we know more than God. And I thought, when she told me that, I thought, how many times have I done that in my life? You know, immediately when she told me that, I flashed back to years ago, whenever the Lord spoke to me over in Louisville at the hospital, when a good friend of mine he was 42 years old, and he had stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ of his body. 42. The doctor says they done exploratory surgery and opened him up and done all the tests and sewed him back up and said, every organ of your body has stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in it. You're going to be dead in a few weeks. Ain't nothing we can do for you. That evening when I went by to visit him, whenever his wife told me this circumstance, what was wrong with him, the Lord spoke to me like he did Kim. The Lord said, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. Well, now, I'm a Southern Baptist deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I have never seen God heal any such thing as this in my life. So after I prayed a little short prayer with her, I'm walking down the corridor coming out of Louisville Hospital, and I kind of look up and I said, God, you didn't hear what she said. Can you imagine that? God didn't hear what she said. I don't think he's hard hearing, do you? I know he's not hard hearing, but you know, I have no faith. I mean, I have zero faith. I don't know what the word faith, I don't know how to spell faith back in those days. This was in 1986 when this happened, 20 years ago. About 23, 2 or 3 years ago. But I'm arguing with God, I heard that clear. You said to call the men of the church to pray over him and you would heal him. But I said, Lord, I know in John you also said to test every spirit. Maybe that wasn't you talking to me. You know, you try to rationalize everything, don't you, Kim? You know, I mean, I thought about all those things whenever God was putting her to the test. And when you notice what she said, okay, Lord, I remit the sins of the block. Bam, and the power came back on just that quick. Isn't that amazing? When there was a sin somewhere that was holding that in their block, keeping the power from coming back on, and when God took one of his little obedient daughters and spoke to her, and she did what she had been taught from the Word, he knew this girl had been taught this scripture right here in this church many times. So he knew she would believe it. And so when she remitted the sins of the whole block, God forgave their sins and turned the power back on in one heartbeat. It's amazing, isn't it? Just amazing. Yeah. But, I mean, this also, this lovely couple here, Scott, he's the husband down here, and Kim, she's the wife, and these children of theirs, since they've learned Psalms 91 and started claiming Psalms 91, Scott has told me several times that in the last couple of years or whatever it is, 2 or 3 years, whatever, since they've learned this and they start using Psalms 91 over their children, all three of them, have not had one single sick day. Not one. Isn't that something? It's wonderful to stand on God's Word, isn't it, Scott? It works, doesn't it? Just like this young man back here said, God says, well, why don't you ask me where the keys are? Are we dumb or are we dumb? I mean, here we are, children of God. We got the King of the universe. And, Lord, we're running around looking for things. And that's just like, I mean, talking about finding things. I've told some of you this story before. But, I mean, how you can walk, you know, with God every day, like I try to walk with God, and still be dumb when it comes to asking God for something. Because I've told you all that here a year or so ago, whenever I had a heater over here at the other building in the middle of winter, and there was a code flashing on it, and it wouldn't come on. And I tried to find the book that told me what the codes meant, so I'd know what part was bad. I couldn't find the book. I called the manufacturer. I called the place I bought it. And nobody could get me a book short of a week or two. And I thought, Lord, I got a heater that's down. I need to know what this code is. And so I'm looking on the internet. I'm doing everything trying to find this code. Nothing. I've been at this a half a day. Dave walks in. He said, Pastor, something wrong with you? I said, yes, Dave, I can't find that book. Can't find that book to show me the code. He said, you know, my pastor would say, now see, I'm his pastor. He said, my pastor would say, have you prayed about this yet? See, you know where I'm coming from, don't you, brother? I said, no, Dave, I haven't prayed. Now, isn't that unbelievable that a son of God that walks with God every day of his life would not think to pray over something? It's amazing. So I stopped right and said, Lord, forgive me for not asking you. I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, you did say I could ask anything and you'd do it. I said, Lord, I need to know where that book's at in the name of Jesus. Bam! I knew instantly where that book was. I got up from my desk, walked around to another room, to a file cabinet, opened the drawer, and there was that code book right there. I had it in 2 minutes or less. And I thought, Lord, oh, what needless pain we suffer. How many times as a Baptist have I sang that song, Jack? Oh, what needless pain we suffer, all because we do not take everything to God in prayer. I mean, we sing those songs, just like Standing on the Promises. Boy, I used to sit in that Baptist church and stand up there sing, Standing on the Promises. And I ain't never stood on a promise in my life at that time. Do y'all know where I'm coming from? I mean, isn't it sad? It is absolutely, we got a God, you know, that, just think. We got a God that made a promise to the whole world. I sent my son to die on the cross for you, to redeem you from your sin. Now anybody, oh, anybody but you. Now that's not what he said, was it? You're one of the anybodies. Yeah, me too. Anybody that comes to me in faith and asks me to save you, I will save you. Isn't that an awesome promise? What does it cost us? Nothing. All we got to do is receive what's rightfully ours. And God does it. And then when we learn these things, I told y'all the other day about the little Waldorf girl, but I watched the 5.5 minutes on NBC about this drug. Now then, this little Waldorf girl out from Hobbs, New Mexico, that last month, they came down to Brenham, where we were teaching a healing school. They drove 500 miles from Hobbs, New Mexico, to Brenham, Texas, to have their daughter prayed for because she was 15 years old. And they were Southern Baptists. And what happened, they have an injection that they suggest they give to all young girls that are 12 and older. And it prevents cervical cancer. they say. Now then, when I listened to this, they had the Waldorf girl on there. Didn't tell a whole lot about her. Her mother was on there, but you didn't learn from the little thing that NBC put on. You would have known nothing. You would have only known she had the problem. You didn't know. It didn't tell anything about her healing or nothing. But anyway, one of the things I was impressed with, they have given 23 million of these shots to girls over 12 years of age. 23 million. Now, only 11,000-something have had a serious reaction to it. Only 11,000. Yeah, that we know of. And only 33 of them have died. 33 young girls over the age of 12 that's taken a drug for cervical cancer, and 11,000-something, they told exactly how many, had had a reaction, but 33 of them had died. Now, this the Waldrop girl, last November, she had had one at 12 and then somewhere along in there and then at 14 had the third one, booster shots, to keep her from having cervical cancer. Well, here's the thing the church does not know. Here's the thing the world certainly doesn't know, and the church don't know it either, that any girl that gets cervical cancer because she's sexually active and she's not married. That's what causes it. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to guarantee you on the Word of the Living God that if a girl keeps herself pure and clean and has no sex outside of wedlock, she waits till she gets married to go to bed with that first man she goes to bed with, she won't never have to worry about cervical cancer. It will never come upon her. Never. God, in His Word, in fact, this scripture that we've used when I read this and learned this in the Book of Wisdom. Now, this is in the Apocrypha. This is the Catholic Bible. And so if you've never read a Catholic Bible, you probably don't know this scripture. But still, the Apocrypha is a very good Bible. The Catholics use it all the time. It's almost exactly word for word the King James, except it has a few extra, it has an extra book. The one book I'm talking about is the Book of Wisdom. It's kind of like the Book of Proverbs, but it's an extra book of wisdom. And when I was reading this, I come up on chapter 11, verse 16 and 15 and 16, and Dave's going to put that on the screen, and this was an eye-opener to me. Look what this says. In return for their foolish and wicked thoughts, which led them astray to worship irrational serpents and worthless animals, You sent upon them a multitude of irrational creatures to punish them, so that they might learn that one is punished by the very things by which one sins. Now, is that an eye-opener? Now, see, I had already learned that, but I didn't have anything in the Word to prove it until I read this. I'd already learned that if you're a woman and you have breast cancer in your left breast, you always got unforgiveness toward a family member. I'd already learned that. If you had breast cancer in your right breast, you had unforgiveness toward a woman that was not a family member. And since I learned those things, I have seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women, from young girls to old women, get instantly healed of breast cancer. When I say, you come for breast cancer? Yes. Which breast? Left breast. What family member you got unforgiveness toward? How do you know I got unforgiveness toward a family member? I just know you have. Who is it? How are you getting along with your sister, your mother? I mean, your daughter. Well, we get along. Me and my daughter have a real problem. I said, there is the problem right there. Or if it's a young girl that's 18 and it's usually her mother. Me and mother, we don't see eye to eye. I don't want to do things, mother won't let me do it. So I've got a grudge against my mother. She won't let me do what I want to do. I said, you want to die with breast cancer in that left breast? Well, no. I said, do you want to obey your parent and get healed? You know, God said in His Word, children, obey your parents in
everything.
Oh, everything. You think He meant that, Jack? Ooh, you think He meant children, obey your parents in all things that your life may be long on the earth. That's what He said. Now then, if a daughter got crossways with her mother and held a grudge or an unforgiveness toward her mother, and she's 18 years old, and she comes down with breast cancer in her left breast, I said, now if you're willing to ask God to forgive you and ask your mother to forgive you and get right with your mother, I'll pray for you and God will heal you. And I have seen Every woman I've ever prayed for, except one, there was one that I didn't get healed, but the rest of them, young or old, that I've ever had the privilege to pray for, I've seen God heal their breast cancer. Now, isn't that amazing? That's a pretty good report, isn't it? That you can pray for many people, and like the brother said back there, God says, have you asked me yet? If you don't ask Him, you might as well stay at home. You know, and if you don't get rid of sin, you might as well stay at home. You know, because you're not going to have much of a result in the healing ministry. But if you obey God, just think of these prayers. Our whole series lately has been on why, with this book full of wonderful promises we got. I mean, I want to take you to a few of those promises today before we get into why we don't see God answer our prayer. We've been talking about this. Of course, the first week we talked about unbelief. We just don't believe God. You know. And then we talked about sin for a couple Sundays. Then we talked about demons. These guys are our enemies. And today we're going to talk about some new things. We talked about confession one time. And now then, we're going to get into a new group of things today. And it's going to be with unforgiveness where we're going to start. But I want us to start off with some of the promises that God give us. I want us to go to Matthew 18:19. I want Dave to put Matthew 18:19 on the screen. And since I've used that verse to see so many awesome, wonderful things, but yet for years and years and years of my life as a Southern Baptist deacon and a Sunday school teacher, I didn't know I could stand on this promise and see God do anything, so I never did see Him do nothing. But I had this wonderful promise. Jesus said, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's a pretty awesome one, isn't it, Jack? I mean, that's just awesome. I mean, Kim, with you and your lovely husband over there, what can you and him get if you're walking in love with that verse?
Anything.
Scott, I mean, you can come to the Lord, you and your wife, and y'all can pray around that verse if you're walking in love and walking in obedience to God's Word, and He'll answer your prayer, won't He? Yes, He will. I mean, that promise right there, of course, Phil's not here today, but that promise right there in, let's see, must have been 14 years ago, about 14 years ago, the young man that works for us here at the ministry, Philip, his body was covered with warts and scars. He had hundreds and hundreds of warts and several big old scars where they had burnt scars off his body. I used that prayer to ask God, after I spent all afternoon getting their sins repented of. We did that for a couple, 2 or 3 hours. And I built their faith. Then I turned to Phil and I said, now Phil, with all these promises I've read to you today, do you believe the King of the universe, Jesus, can and will take these warts and scars off you when I pray for you? He said, after what, Mr. Scrivener, he said, after what I've heard you read out of that Bible today, I believe Jesus can do anything. Now, is that the right kind of faith? That's the kind of faith the King's looking for. So I knelt in the floor and quoted that verse. I had all of them on the floor with me on our knees in that little house they lived in up in Justin. And I used that verse and I asked the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus to take all of Philip Anthony Wren's warts and scars off of his body. And I thanked Him for doing it. And 3 weeks later, Philip didn't have a wart on his body. Now, he'd only had them from the time he was 3 till 11. 8 years they've been there. Now, in 3 weeks, they're gone. And then that fourth week, Mama was so hysterically happy, and I had never seen a charismatic mother in a Baptist church till that Sunday. Oh, and that big, tall, skinny Mama of his, she come walking in that Sunday school class that morning. I ain't never seen a Baptist mother, dance in church. But I saw that one dance. I mean, God showed up for her and her son, and she was a happy camper. But they got rid of their sin. And then we prayed and asked in faith, and in 3 weeks, every wart on his body was gone. And then I used another promise when she said, look here, Thurman. She said, I've never seen anything like this. And I thought, isn't that amazing? Never seen anything like this? But how long has this promise been in God's Word? For a couple thousand years anyway, right? Why did I never use it? I never saw anybody else use it. Didn't know it could be used. But it's there for you and me. Well, I used it and it worked. And then she said, I said, now, Mama, don't stop believing, and I guarantee next Sunday when you come to church. Philip won't have any scars either. Now, wait a minute. How can I do this? How can I guarantee God's Word? This is something people have such a hard time with. Well, the promise I used here to get the scars removed after this was Mark 11:23. I want you to see what Jesus said to you and me in this promise in Mark 11:23. Now, these are there for all of us. Now, look at this, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say... Now, Jack just told me he was a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. It took me a long time to learn that, but I'm finally getting it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now just think, how do you get saved? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. You say, Lord, I believe you paid the price for my sins. So I am accepting you as my Lord and Savior. Right now I am believing I am saved. I'm born again. I'm confessing that with my mouth. I believe that with my heart. And guess what? You just become a new creature in Christ. Isn't that amazing? How hard is that? Oh, it's awesome. And just beaming over there, she said, I did that one time. I did that one time too. And it's stuck ever since, hasn't it, Ann? We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You know, but everybody that does that in faith, you're saved. Now, by using that awesome promise, he said, you'll have whatever you say. So did I say? Now, Mama, if you stay in faith with me, I guarantee you next Sunday, Philip will not have a wart on his body. Now, I said that in total faith off of that promise. And the next Sunday when they come to church, Philip didn't have a scar on his body, nowhere. It was all gone. Now, how many of us are these promises available to? Isn't that something? That we carry this book under our arm to church all these years. And Tom, I know you're just like me. You carried it a long time and didn't have a clue. Just like me. I carried this book. I didn't have a clue that these promises was for me. But Jesus is saying, whosoever. I guess me and you didn't know we were whosoever, did we, Tom? We didn't know it. Oh, Lord. Okay, now let's go to John 15:7. John 15:7. We'll hit four or five of these, and then we'll get into the teaching. Why we don't see God do more things. John 15:7. John 15:7 has a requirement. If, big word, biggest in the Bible. If you, now that's talking about you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. Isn't that an awesome promise? You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. See, now that's the verse right there that when I walked in that day of my granddaughter laying her tore all to pieces in that car wreck. When the doctor said, she can't live. Brain stem severed, eyes jerked out of her brain, skull crushed in five places, bones all crushed around her eyes, lungs crushed, right knee crushed, left leg broken in two places. The doctor said, I'm sorry, it's over for Caitlin. I said, no, I got this verse. John 15:7. I said, Jesus said, if his words, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I can ask what I will. Now then, how big is your God? Mine's, Rosemary put her hands out like this. Mine's big enough to fix my eyes when I get older. When she said she had a birthday, I won't tell you how old she is, but she's over 39. She's young. And she's getting younger all the time. Her eyes are going the other way. All those years she had to have glasses to read for her driver's license. This time she went in with no glasses and read this and passed the test. Jack did the same thing. See, both of them have. That's faith, isn't it? That's faith. You can do it. Guarantee you can do it if you can stand by faith on God's Word. But I took that verse right there against impossible odds and stood with no doubt in my heart. And yesterday I had to fly up to just this side of Memphis, Tennessee. My granddaughter went home with her other grandparents this last week. She was out of school, so she went up there, and they got another little granddaughter up there, and they just played and had a ball this week, and she wanted to know if she went up there this week. They were here last week, and they wanted to go. She wanted to go home with them, and she wanted to know if Granddaddy'd come get her Saturday. I said, sure, no problem. Well, if you're driving, it's about a 10 or 12-hour drive from here to Memphis, Tennessee. But in a little airplane, it's about 2 hours. And so we all took a little time off yesterday, and we flew up there to just this side of Memphis. And in the rain, it rained the last hour. You know, we had to fly in the rain. But we landed and picked her up and come back home, and we got home yesterday afternoon. And we had a great little trip. So the last hour of it was a little rough. We landed at Ida Bell, Oklahoma, up here just to get fuel, and it was beginning to clear up, and so we took off from there, and it was getting hot, and of course the air was bumpy, and my granddaughter sitting in the back, and just before we got home, or just as we landed when we got home, she got sick. So, but that's okay. Praise God, Yeshua was sitting in the back with her. She had a little bucket, and as soon as she got thrown, she grabbed it, and she didn't get it in the airplane. But anyway, we had a great trip up to Memphis and back yesterday. I thought to myself, when my great-great-great-grandparents came from up in that area to Texas in the late 1800s, it took them 3 years and had two babies en route. What a change, huh? We went up to Memphis and back yesterday in 5 hours, you know, so that's, isn't that awesome? What we can do today, God is just beyond my wildest dreams. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, now you see, there's a requirement. You got to get in God's word. You got to make him your Lord and Savior. You got to get in the word. And if you're obeying the king and you're looking for something, he'll even prompt you. You haven't asked me yet. Isn't that something? It's wonderful. You know, God wants to do good things for his children, his obedient children. I mean, and when you have faith, there ain't nothing. Just like he said, there's no limitation. Let's go to one more and we'll quit and get into the lesson. But the next one, let's go to John 14:13-14. This is my wife's favorite verse. John 14:13. This is what she brought her daddy back from the dead. I mean, when he was in the hospital, 5 doctors said, it's over. Mr. Butler has had it. And Cheryl said, thank you for telling me. I just don't receive it. I'm going to stand on God's word. So when they said, 5 doctors told her daddy was not going to make it, she called me and asked me to pray. We used these two verses, and then she stood on those verses with her Bible in her hand for the next few days up in that hospital, and her daddy completely recovered and went back to work after that. So when 5 doctors said he is going to die. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is that awesome? So why does not more people use, and this is just a few. I haven't covered very many of them. The book is full of these things. I mean, Jack knows that now. He's been reading the book, and he knows there's multitudes of promises. But from the 4 or 5 we've read, what could you get from God if you're walking in obedience to his word? Anything. There's no limitations to what he'll do for you if you ask him in faith. You know what we do? Well, Lord, I see that. Now maybe, Lord, if it's your will you do this for me? Or I hope you'll do this for me, God. No. He's not a hope and a wish and all that kind of God. He's a faith God. I mean, you got to believe. If you don't believe, what's he going to do for you, Jack? Nothing. That's what he said, isn't it? If you doubt, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, he said, then I won't do nothing for you. And he meant that too. He means everything he says in this book. This book, you don't need an interpreter for this book. All you need to do is read this book at face value. Just think, God says, anybody that comes to me and accepts me as Lord and Savior, I will only turn away half of you. Is that what he said? How many did he say he'd turn away? None. Not one single one. But he said, everybody that don't come to me and don't accept me, every one of you shall burn in hell. How many of you are going to burn in hell? Everyone that won't accept him as Lord and Savior. Isn't that sad? I mean, to think that this free gift has been paid for everybody on the earth, and the majority of people on the earth do not want anything to do with God. But yet, when you learn who he is, wow. Now then, with these wonderful promises that we've got here, we just covered a few of them, why do we not see more people using these promises? I was in an average church, just happened to be a Southern Baptist, because that's where Mom and Dad went, But if they'd have been Methodist, I'd have been a Methodist. If they'd have been Presbyterian, I'd have been a Presbyterian. I just happened to be, Mom and Dad were Southern Baptists. If you were Pentecostal or whatever you were probably that because Mom and Dad was that. But I was in church all my life. It wasn't because I wasn't in church. I was in church. I went every time the door was open, but I never saw God answer a prayer. Just didn't see it. Didn't know they were available to me. But I've come to realize why, and of course, the main reason for me is I had read some of these scriptures, but I had never seen anybody walk in these things, so my unbelief was way up yonder. Unbelief. The pastor, I never saw a pastor that a church, a Baptist church that I went to, I never saw a pastor in the Baptist church I went to. Never did I ever see one pray a prayer of faith for somebody and see a miracle in my whole life. Never saw one. So why would I think that God would do something for me? He won't do it for the shepherd of the church. Why would He do it for me? Well, that's the mentality. That's the way I was raised up until I started reading this book on my own. When I started reading this book and believing this book, that's when I stepped over into a world of faith and started doing things that, wow, has rocked my whole world. It just changed me forever. Just like Cheryl. That day, Cheryl called me. See, we wasn't married back in that day. I never dreamed that God was going to bring Cheryl to me as a wife. She was just one of the ladies in the church. She called me and said, Pastor, I got to have prayer. I'm down here at the hospital. My daddy's here in the hospital, and they say five doctors just told me my daddy's going to die today. And I want you to pray the prayer of faith for me. I said, okay. So I prayed the prayer of faith for her, and she's just crying her heart out. I said, the first thing you got to do, woman, is shut up that cry. You know, here I am, the nice, compassionate, you sweetheart, you. No, I said, drop them tears. You know, I said, there ain't no faith in what you're doing. I said, drop them tears and let's do something in faith, woman. Okay, I'll quit crying. And so she did. You know, she quit crying, and we used this promise. I told her, I said, now you take them two promises and you stand on them, girl. I said, you go back in there and you take your Bible, you open it up, lay it on your daddy's chest. And that doctor said, I'm sorry, ma'am, he's going to die today. He said, thank you for telling me. I don't receive it. I'm going to believe what God said instead of what you said. And she stood on those promises day in and day out for the next few weeks. Her daddy fully, completely recovered and went back to work. I mean, it's amazing, you know. I don't care how many doctors tell you you're going to die today. It ain't never over till God says it's over. Is that right, Eldon? It ain't never over till God says it's over. Oh, I got to tell you. Oh, I nearly missed this testimony. Look toward Eldon. Me and him was unloading some stuff this week, and it was hot. We was unloading a trailer. And we was just working some heavy stuff. And, man, we worked a little while, and, man, I got so tired, and a headache began to come up on me. And I said, Eldon, we got to stop under one of these shade trees. I got to sit down and rest a minute. I said, man, I don't know why I've just, I guess because I was up to 1 o'clock the night before, you know, and up again at 7 o'clock the next morning. And I'd been doing this all week long, but I was just a little bit tired. But this headache come upon me. I said, we got to stop. So we sat down there under a shade tree. And Eldon said, here's a great big rock. I'm going to sit on this and there's a nice one for you. So I sat on that big rock. You know, and we're sitting there, and now then, you know, the average two men would sit there and just take a break for a little while, maybe drink a glass of water, but no, we ain't average. So he reached over and put his hand on my shoulder, raised the other one up in the air and began to praise God and worship God. Lord, for Thurman. Thank you, Lord, for healing him. Lord, thank you for making him young. You know, I mean, praise the King. Oh, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you for strengthening us. Me and him both. Lord, he just prayed and worshiped God for 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful prayer. And all of a sudden, a wind hit that tree we were in. And that tree began to shake and leaves began to fall all over the place. And I looked and there ain't another tree moving nowhere. Just the one we're sitting under. And leaves are just falling everywhere, just all around us. And I said, Eldon, God is here. He said, I know it. I feel it. And when the leaves quit falling, I didn't have a headache no more. I felt like a new man. We got up and I worked all day long and felt like $1 million all day long. I'm going to tell you, if you need somebody to pray for you, there's a man right over there who can touch God's hand. I'll tell you for sure. Woo! I had completely forgot. I thought, man, what an awesome testimony. You have the Eldon right down there on the end. He was just worshiping God and praising God. I mean, and God shook that tree. I mean, the leaves fell everywhere, all around us. I said, what is that? I looked up and leaves are just falling everywhere. And I looked, there ain't another tree nowhere, not a leaf falling nowhere, but that one. And of course, how I know that was really God, because the minute them leaves stopped, my headache was gone. I was as felt as young as a 16-year-old, and I said, man, let's get that trailer unloaded. We jumped up there, and we didn't even hesitate. I mean, we worked like little horses. We got that thing unloaded, and missed the rest of the day. I never had a pain, never had a headache. I just felt like $1 million. I'm telling you, he touched the hand of God. Took about 5 or 6 or 7 minutes, didn't it? But God showed up for me and Eldon. Of course, when the leaves started falling, he said, God, I want some of this too. We both wanted some of that. And he did, man. He made us both strong. We worked the rest of the day. Isn't it amazing what we can do when we call on God in faith? I mean, here we could have just sat there and drank water and waited, and I could have had a headache all day. Or we could have called upon God, and he'll find the key for us. He's an awesome God. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 6, verses 14 through 34. And this is one of the reasons why we do not see God answer our prayer. If you have unforgiveness toward anybody for anything, you can forget getting God to answer your prayer. He is not going to hear your prayer if you have unforgiveness of any kind toward anybody. Now, if it'll make you sick, it will afflict you. It will kill you. And somebody said, well, you know, but it's just this little bitty thing. Hey, God keeps record of the little bitty things. You cannot walk in unforgiveness and get a prayer answered from God. You got to walk in love and do what the King says. Now let's see what Matthew 6, 14, and it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses. Well, I'll just read verse 13 since it's on the screen. He said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the Lord's Prayer. Then it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So what is that saying? What if you don't forgive? What's he going to do? He ain't going to forgive you. If he does not forgive you, you think you're going to get a prayer answered? Ain't no way. So let's see what 15 and 16 says. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He makes it pretty clear, doesn't he? He don't leave out nothing. Moreover, when you fast, let me ask you all a question. In the last year, let me go back further. In the last 5 years, how many of you have done at least a 3-day fast in the last 5 years? Uh-oh. I thought, well, if I covered far enough, surely I'd hit most of us. But, you know, I mean, it's a whole lot easier to feast than it is to fast. Y'all know what I mean? I mean, how many of you want to go with somebody and they say, come out to the church on Friday afternoon. We're going to have a time of feasting and prayer. We're going to feast Friday night, all day Saturday night, and then we'll be ready for service on Sunday afternoon. We're going to have all the groceries in the world. We're going to have all this good stuff, ice cream, cake, homemade ice cream. Who's going to show up for all that? Oh, Jesse, I'll show up for that. He's a young man just like I am. He likes all that good stuff. In fact, Elder and I was driving down the road over here, and we was out running around, and we was coming down a country road over here. And we come by it, and he said, Thurman, there's a guy sitting back there that said, homemade peach ice cream for sale. I said, man, I wish you'd have saw that before we got there, because I got a 32-foot trailer in the truck, and ain't wide enough nowhere for me to turn around. And I sure ain't going to back down that road a half a mile. I said, man, I wish you'd have seen that in advance, because homemade peach ice cream, we'd have locked it down, and we'd have stopped and had some of that. But he got to me a little too late. He says, moreover, when you fast, does that mean we're supposed to fast? Yeah, that's right. And we don't do a very good job of it, do we? Not near good enough. And this is another reason we don't get our prayers answered all the time. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So if you do fast, who do you need to tell about it? Nobody. Only the Lord, He knows what you're doing. You don't have to tell Him either. Don't come in and say, somebody says, what's wrong with you today? Oh, I've been fasting 3 days. Don't you feel sorry for me? I'm so hungry. Forget it. That's not what He says to do. He says, if you do that, that's all the reward you're going to get. When somebody said, well, you poor soul, I feel sorry for you. Let me take you out to dinner tonight. 17 and 18. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. So when you fast, who are you supposed to tell? Nobody. Don't tell them. You know, I mean, just praise God, comb your hair, brush your teeth, you know, all the good stuff, and just continue to get in there with God. 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, lots of people are guilty of this. We're laying up for ourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I thought about laying up treasures on earth this morning, or last night, I guess it was, when I was looking at the website, or the web. I saw places around the world, I mean, a few places in the United States of America, but most of them are outside of the United States of America, where automobile manufacturers have tens of thousands of cars sitting in car lots waiting to be shipped somewhere, and ain't nobody buying them. And they're talking about how many hundreds of men and how many hundreds of workers in each one of these plants they're going to have to lay off. If you got 10,000 new cars sitting out there on the car lot and you have nobody to buy them, that's a lot of cars, you know it? But it wasn't just one place. It was all over the world. I mean, there was parking lots on. They showed places of automobiles where there's thousands of them parked. I mean, if you'd wanted one out of the middle, only you'd get it out of there with a helicopter. You know, because you'd have to move 5,000 cars to get to one of them things. They're parked just close together, side by side, in rows. It looked like miles long, just thousands of cars. Huh? Oh, yeah, they'd do something. But these people are laying up for themselves treasures upon earth. I mean, it's amazing. The millions of dollars that people are laying up for themselves, just like those millions, you know, they paid all those guys at AIG and all that stuff. I can't even think like that. You know, I can't even imagine getting a reward of $1 million in 1 year for working for some company. I just think, wow, that's something. But they're doing that, and, you know, I wonder how many of those people know Jesus. You know, a lot of them, I hope, but a lot of them maybe not. And what good's it going to do them if they get $10 million or $100 million, or what if they got the trillions we're talking about now, and you die and go to hell? What good's it going to do you? None. The Lord says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So we need to be busy about doing things for the kingdom of God, so that when we get there one day, how would you like to get to heaven one day? You walk across the valley of the shadow of death and the king look up and say, well done. Come on over here. Would that be awesome? You've done a good job for me, daughter. You've done a good job for me, son. On earth, come on over here. Let me show you the rewards I've got for you in heaven. Wow. I don't want to be like Howard Pittman. He was a Southern Baptist preacher. We have his interview back there. We talked to him all day one day, didn't we? Eldon and Nancy was there with us. We went, a whole bunch of us went down there from here, and we talked to him. And when he died in 1979 as a Southern Baptist preacher, he was washed in the blood. He knew he was a believer, but God was not the least bit happy with him when he got to heaven. He told him, he said, what you did for me, or what you did for yourself. You didn't do nothing for me. I mean, he said, but Lord, we kept 27 foster children. He said, you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourself so you can tell people what you did. You didn't do that for me. And he said, another thing, you didn't believe my word. You didn't preach my word the way I wrote it. So he said, Howard, you can come in, but you ain't going to get a single reward. I mean, I'd rather be a buck private in heaven than a general in hell any day. You know, but I don't want to be a buck private in heaven. Do you? No, I want to be an overcomer. So when I get there, I want to hear the king say, well done. You know, and whatever I have to go through on earth to do that, that's what I want to go through. You know, I could care less. But verse 21 and 22. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're not interested in talking about Jesus, your heart ain't in it. I mean, I think about men. I think about men at funerals. That's what really gets me. I've been to a lot of funerals, to a lot of men that never darkened the church's door. I mean, they were cussers, take the Lord's name in vain, they'd lie, steal, cheat on their wives, they did everything in the world, and I knew they did all those things. And the wife may be a good Christian woman that goes to church. And one day he dies. And the wife's alive, and here's a casket down here, and here's a preacher up here now that knows her, but don't know nothing about him, other than he was never in church. And I'm amazed how many preachers I've heard say, well, old Bob's in a better place. You know what he should have said? You know, Bob was never in church. You know, he never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. His wife, she come to church, but she's still alive. He's dead. He's burning in hell today. You know, he needed to come to Jesus. I went out to see Bob 5 times in his life, and he told me, hell no, I don't want nothing to do with God. You can talk about hell all you want to, Thurman, but the only thing I know is I don't want nothing to do with God. You ever heard people say things like that? No, I don't want nothing to do with God. You don't want to go to church? No, I don't want to go to church. Well, come down and sing and worship. I don't want nothing to do with it. You think God's going to have a man like that in heaven? If he didn't want nothing to do with God on earth, he'd be miserable in heaven. He ain't going to be there. Is that true? No, he ain't going to be there. Well, I'd rather go to hell anyway and be with my brother. He's down there. I'll be with him. No, forget that. You ain't going to be with him. You and him, y'all may be in the same slush putt together, but ain't none of you going to know where the other one is, I guarantee you. You're going to have your own little slush bucket over here, fire. You know, I think about that book I read one time, and there was a man in a casket, and this woman went to hell with Jesus, and she said she come to a place, and there was demons running out. They were running swords through the casket. This guy's screaming. And the woman says, Lord, who is that man? I said, he was one of my preachers on earth. What? One of your preachers? Oh, yeah. But he was a thief. He was always stealing from the church. They paid him a salary, but he was never happy. So whenever they counted the money, he always take a little extra all the time. Said he was a thief. I said, no thief shall have eternal life. So he's in hell, and I give him a little extra demons to torment him, and he's going to be tormented like that forever. Isn't that awful? You know, these things are real. These things are real. You know, I mean, that's just like this woman. I won't call her name. I ought to. But there was a woman that was a movie star. God worked and worked and worked on calling this woman. Now, she wanted to do her big. If I call her name, everybody in this room would know her. She was a big, beautiful, fancy. I mean, she was one of the most beautiful women. She was perfect in every way, form, or fashion. And she was a big movie star. And she wanted to do her thing. And the woman got killed in an accident one day, cut her head off. And now then, she was down there. And when this woman said, we walked by where she was, I said, Jesus, who is that woman? She's screaming, Lord, give me one more chance. I'll serve you from now on. And she said, I saw the tears in Jesus' eyes that he looked at, and I heard the Father say, judgment has been set. There ain't nothing you can do. So he said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. And said, we walked by, and she was in this little pit of flames, and the worms was eating her, and all kinds of things. And said she was screaming and begging, and when she saw Jesus walking by, she started cursing him. I thought, yeah, sure, she'd repent. I mean, you know, this thing's real, isn't it? Heaven and hell's real, isn't it? God's Word said there's a heaven, and He's made it for those of us that are willing to serve Him and love Him and put Him first. But there's a hell, and everybody that don't believe, somebody said there's not a loving God would never send anybody to hell. No, that's right. But He's going to let everybody that denies His Son go there. He don't want you to go there, but every human being on this earth that denies Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will spend eternity in a lake of fire. You know, all I got to do is just touch a piece of hot metal on an engine and burn the skin off my finger, and I think, oh, God. I mean, it didn't take me but a second to move it off of there. But to think about putting my hand, my body, in a lake of fire and being there forever is beyond my ability to comprehend. When I don't have to, all I got to do is accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I get to go to heaven. That's so simple, isn't it? It says, for your treasures, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body should be full of light. In other words, if you see in the Word of God, let's see what happens after that. But if your eye is evil, your whole body should be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If all the light you got is darkness, you're walking in evil, you can't see where you're going. Oh my goodness, how dark is that darkness. Then he says, no man can serve two masters. I hear people all the time saying, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Well, I don't believe in going to church. You know, I can go to heaven without going to church. No, you can't. I'm telling you, that ain't possible. Somebody said, well, I'm going to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, and I ain't going to church. No, if you don't go to church, you didn't make Jesus Lord of your life, because He told you in His Word, go to church. And so if you didn't obey Him there, you ain't going to heaven. What would you do? Why would you want to go to heaven? We're going to be singing, worshiping, and praising God for the eternity up there. If you don't like going to church on earth, you won't like heaven. This is just a little bitty bit of what we're going to worship, what we're going to see up there. So if you don't enjoy being with God's people on earth, you sure ain't going to enjoy being in heaven, because we're going to really be praising and worshiping the King up there, right? We're going to be serving the King. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. You know, you're either going to serve God or money. Verse 25 and 26, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Does this kind of go along with Psalm 37 a while ago? Next couple of verses. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can you add a day to your life? No. If it's time for me to go, who's going to be able to save me? Nobody. If God says, okay, Thurman, I'm going to let you live. What if God were to say? Now, see, I don't know this. I'm 70 years old in just a few months. What if God says it's 70 years and 6 months to the day I'm taking you out? What can I do about that, Pat? Nothing. I mean, all I can say is, okay, God, here we go. Praise the King. I mean, I'm not going to have any fear. If He were to come to me and tell me, son, today is your last day on this earth. If God told me that, I'd say, okay, God, praise God. I mean, well, I've done my part, and I'm leave this to somebody else. I'll even let Dave take care of it from now on, see? Good grief, you know, Eldon, you know, whatever. But I'm going to believe He ain't through with me yet. I believe He's going to let me stay here for a while. But He says, and why take thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29 and 30. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, verse 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, or the world, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, all these things. According to that Psalm 37 day put up here today, if we're obedient and walk in righteousness, what's God going to do for us regardless of what happens on this earth? He's going to give us the desires of our heart. We're going to see the righteous taken out, but we're going to prosper. We're going to be blessed. But that's only for the obedient Christian. That's not for the Christian that just comes to church once in a while. That's not for one that never reads His Word. This is an obedient son or daughter of God that's got an intimate walk with God, that's spending time with Him in the Word. He will bless you. Wasn't that an awesome psalm Dave read up there this morning? 37, it's awesome. You need to take that home and read it again. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And if you're walking in obedience to His Word, He will make sure you get everything you need. Verse 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, don't seek a job first? Don't seek going to college first? But seek ye what first? The kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Somebody said, well, you can't talk about God at the workplace no more. You can't pray no more at school. Hey, let me tell you what, that's one thing. There ain't nobody. I have told them up front, ain't no way you ever going to get me to stop them talking about God. That's just like a young man the other day. I walked up somewhere and I said, hey, praise God, are you a Christian? He said, I don't talk about religion and you can't talk about it around me. I said, well, if you're going to be around me, you're going to hear it, son, whether you need it, want it, or not. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk about God. Well, that's the only thing I know to talk about. Dave said, well, two things we know to talk about, airplanes and God. And we talk about God a whole lot more than we do airplanes. And if we're talking about airplanes, we're talking about God. I mean, we're still praying for people. We're seeing God do awesome things. In fact, a couple of years ago, we were down here at the airport. We were doing an annual on one of the airplanes. And we were in there for about 3 weeks. And I guess about a week and a half into it, the man that owns the airport, he asked the owner of the business where we were, he said, what do you think about Thurman and Dave? He said, Thurman and Dave has come down there and converted all my heathens that work for me. Now, what are we supposed to be doing? Converting heathens to Jesus. You know, I mean, praise God. I mean, we're not down there to work on an airplane. We're down there about the kingdom of God, right, Scott? That's what we're there for. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Talk about Him. Tell everybody who you are. Don't worry about your business. If you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, clothes, food, everything, health, everything will be added to you. All you got to do is seek God first. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I mean, there's going to be plenty of evil, isn't there? There's no two ways about it. Now then, we talk about unforgiveness right there. I'm going to just hit one more place on unforgiveness today, and I want to go to Mark 11, 22 through 26, and then we're going to quit on unforgiveness. I'm going to show you two of the most powerful promises in God's Word. And then I'm going to show you why they won't work for you. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, first of all, you can't have faith in God if He's not your Lord and Savior. If you're not in the book, studying the book, and you don't know the Word of God, you can't have faith. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. You develop faith by standing on God's wonderful promises, don't you, Jack? Yes, absolutely. And it says, Jesus says, have faith in God, for verily or truly I say unto you that whosoever, now there we are, whosoever again, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I remit the sins of everybody in this place today in the name of Jesus. Have they just been remitted?
Yes.
Absolutely. Everybody's sin just been remitted, including mine, in the name of Jesus. I said that with my mouth. I believe that with my heart. John 20:23 says, whosoever sins I remit, they're remitted. So right now, your sins are remitted. Then he says, I can say to a mountain, and it'll obey me. And then he says, if that mountain be cast into the sea, if you do not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That same verse right there is the verse I used that night with the doctor in Salt Lake City, Utah, that had a crushed back, that had three vertebrae crushed. He had fell out of a tree 35 feet up in the air, and he had crushed his lower back. And although he's a doctor, the doctor said his back could not be fixed. And it happened on Tuesday, and this was on Sunday, and he was at home laying in bed in excruciating pain, and he first called Eldon because he knew Eldon. He called Eldon. Eldon prayed with him, and then Eldon called me, and I prayed with him. And whenever I prayed with him, I used Mark 11:23, and I said, sir, are you in excruciating pain? He said, I'm in excruciating pain. I said, the God I serve loves you enough. He wants to heal you. I said, now I'm going to use Mark 11:23, and I'm going to say in the name of Jesus that God is going to give you a supernatural healing in your back. So in the name of Jesus, I guarantee you have a supernatural healing in your back according to Mark 11:23. It's done. I said, call me back with your praise report. I hung up the telephone. We drive down the road about a mile. Cheryl's driving. She looked for me and said, honey, what do you think about him? I said, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. He'd ask us to come the next day. He said, he's going to buy us both a ticket up there to Salt Lake City. I said, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. Do you hear any faith in that? I didn't say, I hope he gets healed. Maybe if it's God's will, he'll get something. Isn't that something? We get home, I'm unloading the car, and I get this phone call, and he says, Thurman, this is Dr. Young. Praise God. He said, I'm already completely healed. He said, I'll pick you all up at the airplane in the morning. So Cheryl and I get on an airplane the next morning, fly up to Salt Lake City, and he picks us up, and that guy's been totally healed. A few weeks later, when he goes back to a doctor or to one of the doctors for his x-rays to see his back, when they x-rayed him, the doctor done the x-ray, says, Dr. Young, don't bend over. There ain't nothing in your back holding it up. The x-ray machine won't find it. Now, what did I ask for? What kind of healing? Supernatural. If God had healed it naturally, would the new vertebrae have showed up in the back? Sure. But I asked for a supernatural healing. Now, Eldon has been to one of the meetings where he had that. Eldon says, you can't see those in that x-ray. He has saw the x-ray. I hadn't had the privilege to see it. But he's been there and seen it. And Dr. Young, in fact, Eldon and Dr. Young, Eldon went up somewhere in the north and helped him harvest a bunch of trees. Just really hauled. They worked day and night up there hauling trees out and everything, doing all kinds of things. And Dr. Young, he's just on fire, isn't he? Working, healthy, and right there with Eldon. Now, what happens when you run into somebody that can pray the prayer of faith? What can God do with that? Ooh, anything. Don't that whet your appetite to want to be one of those sons and daughters of God that can pray that prayer of faith and see God? Just like when Kim gets to where she don't argue with God no more. I've been there, girl. I've been there. I ain't belittling you. I'm just saying, I've been there and done it, you know. We have to stop thinking like human beings, don't we? Yes. When God says something like that, man, you just say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And when you do it, God always shows up, just like he turned that power back on. All we got to do when God says, have you asked me for the key? No, Lord, I haven't. Well, don't you think I know where it's at? Isn't it amazing what God will do for us? Why do we have to be prompted by God? Why can't we just get to the point where that we just always talk to Him every day, right? And then we wouldn't have to be prompted by God. We would constantly be worshiping Him and praising Him. And then if we're worshiping Him and praising Him all the time, chances are you'd never lose the key. Chances are you would never have the power go out. You know, chances are you would never have any sickness and disease. It's amazing that just like you take me in my 70 years of living on this earth, it took me the first 45 years to learn these promises. And from 45 to 70, which has been 25 years, just like they said, now for two or three years, their babies and none of them have been sick. I've walked in this for 25 years. I've not had a sick day in 25 years. Wow. God is awesome, isn't He? But do you have to walk in love to do that? Oh, yeah, when you get out of love, what's the first thing you got to do? Repent. You don't carry that love walk. You get out of love, you don't carry that for a day or two. You repent immediately. I think about Jack. The other day he came to me and asked me to pray for him for allergies on Sunday, and he got healed right then. The next morning, he is the happiest camper. He called me and said, Thurman, praise God, my eyes ain't running, my nose ain't running, I'm healed. But by Wednesday, he's down again. He committed a little sin Wednesday afternoon, just a little one. And it brought it back on him, and then he immediately thought, oh, God, I did something wrong. And he repented and rebuked the sickness, and it went away again, didn't it, Jack? And just like he said, I ain't going to do that no more. Psalms 119:67, and we'll quit on this verse. This is the last one. Is that an awesome promise right there? Before I was afflicted. What did you do before you was afflicted? Oh, I went astray. Now, nobody would ever think because you go astray, it would cause sickness to come upon you, would you? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. In other words, I don't like a whipping from God, do you, Jack? I've had too many of them. I mean, I've had my share of whippings from God, I guarantee you. And I don't never learn to like one of them. I don't like them. I'd hold up rather walk in love. Hadn't you, Pat? It pays good dividends when you walk in love and you pray for somebody. The ears gets unstopped. Isn't that awesome? It's so wonderful when you pray. Now then, we got to finish that Mark 11:24. We was at 23 and 24. I was on that last verse when I jumped over here, but I didn't finish Mark 11:24. So drop back to Mark 11:23 and 24. You saw where we could speak to the mountain, and whatever we said in verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you use Mark 11:24, when are you supposed to believe?
Right then.
That's right. It's done right then. That's the verse I used to get the valve fixed in my granddaughter's throat. Now you talk about, what does that mean? Well, 10 months, a doctor said her throat, that valve in her throat didn't work. And I was feeding her with a pump through her stomach. Every day, 3 times a day, we fed, put that little pump, pumped that liquid right in there so she could eat. That's what a way to eat. Man, you don't get to taste nothing or nothing. You're just pumping that liquid right into a hole in her stomach. 10 months I fed her like that. And then one day, I decided this verse meant what it said. So I asked God to forgive me of every sin. I said, Lord, you said right there, therefore, I say unto you, what thing soever you desire. I desire the valve of my granddaughter's throat work. And you said, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and it shall be yours. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to fix the valve of my granddaughter's throat. Thank you, Lord, it's done. Not a lot of begging or pleading or nothing there, was there? I walked in and said, feed her. And her daddy thought I was crazy. Thurman, we just come back to the doctor 2 weeks ago. You know if we give her anything to eat, it'll kill her. I said, no. I said, that valve didn't work this morning. But that valve works right now. I just stepped over into the faith world for my granddaughter. I said, I guarantee you God's word works. And it works according to our faith. So I said, have you got anything to eat? He said, well, I've got some applesauce and some orange juice. I said, give her a bowl. He's put a bowl of applesauce out there and set a little bottle of orange juice down there. I said, Caitlin, honey. She was in the bedroom playing. I said, come in here, sit down in this chair and eat that applesauce for granddaddy. She hadn't eaten a bite in 10 months with her mouth. She come sit down that, grab that little spoon with the putting that stuff down. She never gagged or nothing. She ate the whole bowl. She drank about half that bottle of orange juice and jumped down and running and playing. That's when she is about 4 years old. She's 11 years old today. She can eat anything she wants. Does God's word work? Yes, God's word works. Lord, we praise you and thank you. But these two great and awesome promises, look what he says in the next two verses. And when you stand praying, do what? Oh, forgive. If you have what? Anything ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So if you got any kind of unforgiveness toward anybody, what do you think the chances are of you getting a prayer answered from God? Zero. He ain't going to hear you. I see a lot of people die with cancer because of unforgiveness. I see a lot of women with breast cancer because of unforgiveness toward another female. If they only knew, all they got to do is walk in God's love. Just like that little girl that nearly died, the little Waldrop girl out there in Hobbs that nearly died with that cervical cancer shot, the third booster they give her, almost died. And her mom and dad brought her down there. And I got, first of all, I asked her, I said, have you been involved in any kind of sexual activity? No. I asked mom and dad. I know y'all are Southern Baptists, so I said, I want y'all to repent for your unbelief, for you're not trusting God. You're His children. They all did. And I prayed one simple little prayer for that girl, and God instantly healed that little girl. She's back in school now, and last Sunday we had a couple, four people from Hobbs, New Mexico, brought their children down here for me to pray for because they know the Waldrops and know how that girl got healed. They wanted to get healed too. I mean, do we know a healing Jesus?
Amen.
Is He in the house today?
Yes,
yes, here. He's here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for Your promises. You're the saving God, the healing God, the delivering God. You're God. And there ain't nothing hard for You, Lord, nothing. And Lord, I'm grateful that I know You. I'm grateful, Lord, that You've called me to do what You've called me to do. I'm grateful for all these people You've saved, healed, and delivered that I've had the privilege to meet and pray for. Lord, You're such a mighty, wonderful, awesome God. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs to make Jesus Lord of their life, I ask You to convict them right now that they need to come down here and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here that needs to be healed, I ask You to convict them and bring them down there and they get rid of all their sin and we pray for them and You heal them. Lord, this is Your church. You do everything. We're just Your sons and daughters and we get to be part of it. And Lord, I thank You and praise You for everything You're going to do for everybody that's here today. May You bless them and may they never be the same after this day. And I give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord.